that was the first time we had to have an impromptu selection show with the team. I guess, you know, everything got moved up. We were in practice when I guess things started to trickle out. And so, yeah, it was interesting. I've never had to do that. So we took the team in the locker room, took their phones, didn't really tell them, and we went straight to the film room. We were about 18, 20 minutes away, went in there. And so we didn't have to wait long. We were the first region up. So that's always good.
People ask me from time to time, any job openings available? I believe ESPN has an opening.
Somewhere in their graphics department or whoever relays that on TV, there is an opening at ESPN.
If you don't know what happened, welcome to Sports Ticket, by the way. I'm Wade. He's Dusty. Yesterday, ESPNU was having a show with the men, of course, overanalyzing bracketology for the 26th hour in a row. And somebody really goofed up and put the NCAA women's bracket up on ESPNU. And it was at 3:15 Eastern time. So that'd be what, 2:15 our time?
Yeah.
And it began showing graphics of the women's NCAA tournament regions. The selection show wasn't supposed to be until 7 o'clock Eastern or 6 o'clock Central time. And so as a result of that major mistake, ESPN then moved up the reveal of their bracket to 4 o'clock our time, moved it up 2 hours. And as you just heard Jeff Mitty, head coach of Kansas State, his women's team in the tournament as a number 9 seed. They'll take on Michigan on Friday at 1 o'clock. And Louisville's the 1 seed they could face in the second round. They wanted to keep it a surprise. And I was explaining earlier, if you want an analogy, you have a big surprise party you plan for someone, and then somebody opens their big trapper or lets it slip, and you reveal the surprise to the person supposed to be surprised, and now they got to fake it when they get to the event, you know, venue.
Yeah.
In this case, K-State was smart and just like, all right, this is more important than practice or whatever else. We'll get out of this. We're going to run over here. We're going to wrap up stuff, and we're going to go over to this place, and we're going to have the reveal, take away everybody's phones so nobody knew and spoiled the surprise. And so they still was able to enjoy the selection and seeing their name pop up there and have true enthusiasm instead of somebody ruining it for somebody. It's like watching a movie and somebody tells you how it ends.
Yeah.
It's just wrong. It's wrong. And so this wasn't done on purpose, I don't think. But I heard somebody say yesterday, well, imagine if that happened for the men's tournament. It did. It did.
Yeah.
Just not in this way. It happened a few years ago where somebody somehow got access to the bracket and started leaking it on social media. And people actually knew who they were going to play and when. Frank Martin, I remember, knew who South Carolina was going to play. And he's like, well, okay, gives me a little more time to prep for the game. But that was not an ESPN per se thing. But this was just a major mistake, revealing the entire bracket on graphics on ESPNU. I guarantee you it ruined some watch parties across the country for some of the women's basketball teams, which is unfortunate, but mistakes do happen. But holy cow, I guarantee you once that popped up, somebody's like, who did that? Bring me their head on a silver platter. Get a rope.
I just don't know how you don't, like, notice it before the whole thing gets out. Like they just kept rolling right through them, and it's like...
Yeah, somebody wasn't on top of it.
How do you not know what's going on? Like,
listen, to me, it's pretty simple. ESPN's cut back so much staff that they have a whole bunch of
monkeys. Well, and it's ESPNU, too, and they're probably not paying as close attention to that.
Probably.
As they are, you know, what's on their actual, you know... lead ESPN station.
This is a fact. ESPN has cut so much staff that actually monkeys are now running the production truck at ESPNU. So here is ESPN's official statement. An unfortunate technical error by ESPN. Oh, this is from NCAA, by the way. An unfortunate technical error by ESPN. I love the fact that the NCAA made it clear it wasn't their fault. Revealed the 2019 NCAA Division I Women's Basketball Championship bracket earlier today. We regret the network's mistake. And are working with our partners at ESPN to prevent similar errors in future years. We look forward to collaborating with ESPN to bring fans exciting women's basketball tournament coverage throughout the remainder of the championship. If you could see what I'm reading off of Twitter, this is so funny because the ESPN's in all caps because they are the call letters, but it stands out like a sore thumb. ESPN revealed, ESPN to prevent, ESPN will team up with them, and the network's mistake, not our mistake, not we, I thought they were a partnership. Apparently not in that situation. Yeah. So they really goofed up. Can you imagine, though, if that happened with the men's tournament bracket, if CBS inadvertently popped that up an hour before the show or a couple hours before the show? Would they move up that whole selection show 2 hours? They wouldn't.
Probably not.
I doubt it. It's got too much money right now. Can you imagine advertisers being ticked off if it happened to the men's tournament?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So a major, major mistake. Now, the bad thing about this whole thing for K-State fans is not that the women made the tournament, not that the men made the tournament. They play at the exact same time on Friday.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But I will say this. In fairness to both, first of all, whoever's putting together the women's bracket can't be worried about the men's bracket.
No,
and you got to worry about geography and pods and, you know, like you got to worry about certain things. Like BYU can't play on a Sunday if they ever make it in one of these tournaments.
Yeah.
There's so many insinuating factors. Travel, you know, West Coast team have to go across the East Coast or something. They try to keep it geography-wise. Who's going to play where because the higher seeds get the first couple games at home. But it is unfortunate because, although I will say this, and I mean, let's be honest. I'll have to ask Riley about this. How many K-State men's basketball fans were going to watch the women's game anyway?
I'll bet you
it's a low percentage.
It's probably not the same amount, obviously.
I think it's very
but
low.
But I do know that more fans are more apt to start watching the women if they're in the tournament.
True, true.
So it does take away that opportunity if you are one of those fans.
Especially if they lose the first game.
Want to see your team play in the tournament.
And they lose the first game and you're watching the men.
Yeah. I mean, you could go, and I'm not making stuff up there. That's a fact that more people are going to watch a team. That's a fact for some men's teams.
Right.
You know, they don't watch a whole lot during the season, but they'll watch it once they get to the tournament.
Right.
And so I think that's the only thing that is an issue for me. You know, I want to watch them both, but, you know, I'm not the same person as some other fans are.
Sure.
Where, you know, I can't say I've watched all the K-State women's games this year, but I have watched probably, you know, a handful, five, six of them that I've had time to sit down and watch and see them play. But you know, it's not going to be a large number, probably, of the fans that are going to want to watch. And I can guarantee you it's going to be a very, very small number that are going to watch the women instead of the men.
Right. And here's the thing that I think is the worst part of it is all those folks, and I know some of them very well as I filled in for a few games for K-State women. I've done a couple men's games for the network. Is that they all love to cheer for each other. So you've got Randy Peterson, you've got Brian Smoller, who's going to be on with us tomorrow to talk K-State men's and women's basketball. You've got the broadcasting crew. You've got the work staff. You've got the managers. You've got the K-State coaches themselves. You've got the K-State players, the trainers. They all want to watch the men play. And I know some of the men's players want to watch the women play. They can't watch each other and support each other from afar.
Apparently, and I didn't even know this, but one of the men and one of the women are dating, too, so they'd like to watch it. Kayla Goff is apparently dating Dean Wade.
Oh, I knew that.
Yeah.
Actually, I knew that.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah,
but
they've dated for a little.
I never really paid much attention to that, but she was. They showed her going nuts at the Big 12 tournament on a call that they made for what K-State fans thought was for Iowa State.
Right.
She blew up on Twitter after that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, yeah, that's Kayla Goff. And I didn't even know that they were dating. So they probably want to watch each other or want to watch each other's games. I know Dean's probably not going to be playing that first game, but
they're not playing. He just pull up his phone and pull up on Hulu or something and watch it.
What are you talking about?
What's Dean Wade doing over there? He's watching Kayla play.
This is my medical update.
Right? It is a bummer. It is. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing if they play like back-to-back, but they're playing exact same time. It's unfortunate. But like I said, I don't blame the tournaments because your job is just to take care. I mean, the bracket, putting it together is hard enough. Worrying about, the Louisville men and women play it. We got to change the game times to accommodate a few people because it is a few people when we're talking about this in the grand scheme of the tournament. But for me personally and for you personally and for a lot of other people, I want to watch both.
Yeah.
And now you better DVR one and
that's
watch
the
other and then
really
not be on
both.
Social media because trust me, there'll be no surprise.
Yeah.
They'll tell you on social media who won and you'll be like, okay, well, I don't even want to watch it. Once I know the result of a game, I rarely end up wanting to watch it. I mean, I will sometimes.
If it's my team, I'll still watch it, but anything else other than that.
As I get older, it's to the point like it just ruins it for me.
Of course, I'll have it on DVR and I can flip fast forward through a lot of it. And
if I didn't have this show, I wouldn't even watch some of it when I knew the result, but I do for the show. All right, the latest on Dean Wade. You brought Dean up. Kayla Goff's boyfriend, otherwise known.
Yeah.
Report from KCTV 5. There's a good chance Dean Wade's career at K-State is over. A source said, I'd be very surprised if he played again this season. That's from Tom Martin of KCTV5 in Kansas City. We'll have Riley on coming up here in about 15 minutes and ask him what he knows, but nothing was revealed yesterday, as far as I know, in regards to Dean Wade. No. If you're K-State, why would you say he's not going to play? You wait till the – you don't even do anything until tip time. That way, yeah. UC Irvine's got to prepare for Dean Wade or not. And speaking of that, Bruce Weber talks about the matchup against UC Irvine. You know, K-State's not a big team. You take away Dean Wade, they're even smaller. And UC Irvine is a team that really rebounds the ball well. And Bruce Weber is concerned about their size. The 4 versus the 13 coming up Friday at 1 o'clock.
The only thing is with this team, they are big. So, you know, where this weekend we had, you know, playing TCU and playing Iowa State, it was more small ball. So, this is Austin, Levi. They're going to probably have to come through for us.
That scares K-State fans, man. When you're talking about Austin Trice and Levi Stockard, who you're going to have to rely on, that's a little bit scary. In the first round of the NCAA tournament, and Trice has no NCAA tournament experience, and Stockard a little bit. Listen, I've thought this is when the bracket came out, I think Kansas State going to have to play well to win the first game. You just can't walk in and expect to blow out a 13 seed. Northeastern's a really good team that shoot the three well. Kansas had some problems defending the three, four-guard lineup. That's not ideal for Kansas. For K-State, what's one of their weaknesses, or considered weakness, although they have rebounded the ball better this year than last year. But as Bruce Weber said, we've seen some smaller lineups lately. We haven't gone up against a bigger team. Mm-hmm. And I think if there was anybody happier about an injury to Udoka Azubuike, it was Kansas State, because K-State and many team people in the Big 12 wouldn't have been able to compete inside against Udoka because he's so tall and big and physical. But Kansas State's going to have to rebound the ball well, and there will be no Dean Wade. So Trice and others, I'd say Stockard, Maywean, of course, will have to play well. So it's an interesting matchup. We'll talk more about that with Riley Gates coming up in a little bit. All right, local sports, got anything there to add?
The Wichita Eagle has now released their all-class, all-state teams. 3A boys, first team Vincent Paulin of Beloit. 1A honorable mention Darnell Holloway of Osborne, Derek Gillett of Rock Hills. And then in 3A girls, honorable mention Shay Larson of Beloit. Second team on 1A girls, Lane Pettijohn of Thunder Ridge. And then honorable mention selections for Lauren Dubert and Kara Eiler of St. John's Tipton, and Elizabeth Hardacre and Brennan Kirkhoff from Thunder Ridge. Those full teams are at ncksports.com, as well as the Topeka Capital General All-State teams that we talked about yesterday.
All right, so K-State, UC Irvine, that's the South Regional first-round matchup. San Jose about 1 o'clock our time. We mentioned the K-State women. They'll take on Michigan at 1 o'clock, same time on Friday. Win that, they would maybe play Louisville in Louisville in the second round of the tournament. K-State, of course, could see Wisconsin in the second round or possibly Oregon. KU, meanwhile, they'll be playing on Thursday. KU will play at 3 o'clock approximately. They're the 4 seed in the Midwest region. They'll take on Northeastern, the 13 seed. And Northeastern, listen, this is the great thing about the NCAA tournament. These underdogs, they want a shot to knock off the Goliath. They're David. They want to knock off Goliath. That's why I love the NCAA tournament. Unless my team loses to that, David, and then I'm not very happy about it. Well, guess what? Northeastern's pretty excited. Their leading scorer, Vasa Pushia, if I'm saying it correctly. Sorry, Vasha or Vasa, whatever your name is. He is a good player. Averages 18 a game. Says, hey, we wanted a blue blood.
I mean, we're just so excited, and playing a team like that, you know, that has, you know, such a great, you know, history of winning so many titles, having so many great players. That are now in the NBA. I mean, it's all you can ask for. You know, I wanted to play someone big like that, and, you know, I couldn't be more excited about it.
Yeah, see, they got nothing to lose, man. This is why you typically don't want to – I mean, yeah, in the regular season, you'll play a couple of teams that you're taking a chance to get upset, but it's on your home floor. That's what's great about the tournament. You know, KU, that one year, can dodge Wichita State all they want, which, by the way, I don't think KU is really dodging Wichita State. There's nothing to gain for KU to play Wichita State. But in the tournament, you might face each other. And Wichita State beat Kansas and beat them good and wanted it more, in my opinion, and out-hustled a team that was, you know, probably more talented than Kansas, well, obviously, when you had Oubre and others. But they were a junkyard mentality, and Wichita State went out and they just flat-out punked Kansas. You see these types of matchups. Little guy coming in. I mean, the best one of all time, of course, is last year. UMBC, a 16 over a 1 Virginia. You don't think Gardner Webb's going, hey, let's do it again.
Yeah.
You don't. And by the way, every other 16 seed now says we have a chance.
Oh, without question.
But until it's last year, now. You'd say
yep.
No.
Yep.
The 1s versus 16s are now 135-1. I remember last year and every year there was always the talk, well, a 16 beat a 1. And I've always said, well, yeah. it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to happen for a while, but yeah, it's going to happen. Yeah,
I never thought it would be a resounding defeat either, like
no,
a 20-point win.
Me neither. But there are people that were arguing this last year until it happened that, 16 has no chance. There's just, it's not going to ever happen. And I was like, how naive is that? I mean, if you eventually have four cracks at it every single year times 50 years, that's 200 chances. I mean, I would bet one out of 200 is going to happen.
Yeah.
And guess what? 136th time it happened. 135-1. It is interesting when you look at the seedings and the percentages, the winning percentages. The 1 versus 16, 135-1. 2s versus the 15s. The 15s have beaten the 2s 8 times. 128-8. Then you go to the 3s and the 14s and the 14s. So it just goes down. So basically it goes from 99.6% winning percentage in the 1 versus 16 down to 94%, down to about, I think it's 89%, then down to about 80%, and you keep working your way down. The 8 versus 9 matchup, you know what the percentage is, 8 versus 9,
since
the field went to 64?
I don't.
50-50.
That's what I was going to say.
It's exactly 50-50. Are you kidding me? The 7-10,
that's
the 7.
That's what you should have, really,
right,
though. You
right, know, that means they're doing a good job. Yep. The committee is over the years. The 7 versus 10, the 7, I think, has a 56-44, which makes sense. 6 versus 7, or 6 versus 11, I think, is like 59 or 60. It totally coincides with the seeding. So when you sit here and we say seeding doesn't matter, the percentages do matter. Now, what we don't know after that graphic I saw is, okay, what are the percentages of the seeds that make it to the Final Four? And there's no question you have a much better chance to make the Final Four as a 1 or a 2 seed. It's a resounding crazy number. But there have been 11s that have made it. There have been, I think the 11 is the lowest that's ever made the Final Four, if I remember right. Of course, VCU was 11 in a play-in and made it all the way through.
And George Mason was 11,
Yeah, they made it. Of course, Kansas was a 6 when they won it all in 88. And we've seen some 6s that have won the NCAA tournament, let alone make it to the Final Four. And we see upsets. And that's what's great about the NCAA tournament. The little guy gets a shot. Whereas in college football, this is where college football misses the boat. You don't let the little guy have a shot. And they make a ton of money if they let the little guy have a shot. But they won't. They're making enough money, apparently. So get your brackets, fill them out, fax them to us, 545-3191. Email them, kdnskzdy@nckcn.com for our contest and see if you're better at picking the games than Dusty and myself, which odds are you probably are, at least versus me.
Yeah, that's generally what happens is, yes, we are not toward the top of this contest.
No, we're not. We're usually in the middle of the pack if we're lucky. Now, the Fort Hays State women last night had a great opportunity. Got down big early, 16-2, made a couple of rallies, but just too big of a mountain to climb. Dug themselves too big of a hole. Southwestern Oklahoma State knocks off Fort Hays State in Hays last night by a final of 88-77. So the Bulldogs of Southwestern Oklahoma State move on. They're 33-1. And Fort Hays State ends their terrific season at 32-2. Jeff Mitty's daughter, Madison, is a bench player for Fort Hays State, and still, I believe, we want to, since you bring up one couple, why not me bring up another? Last I checked, Sam Pauls was still dating Madison Mitty. I thought she was a smart girl, but you know. And when I see Coach Mitty, I do bring up. Now, I don't want to cause any problems here, but is your daughter still dating Sam? And he says, "Yeah." He usually goes, "Yeah." Actually, he doesn't say that. But and I said, oh, okay, and we always talk about, have a good laugh about it. We did earlier this year. But I'm always careful because I don't want to just like, so how's things going with your daughter and Sam?
Yeah.
Sam broke up with her, that dirty, rotten scoundrel. You got to be careful. You don't want to just assume they're still dating. You never know. Maybe she came to her senses. You know, found a tremendous Casanova or whatever, and he's a model, and because I know Sam's not. And, well, finger model, hand model, whatever he is. I don't know, but I'm just kidding. So Madison Mitty is a member of the Fort Hays State women's team, and they had a great year, went 32-2. All right, let's shift to football before we get Riley on. Some news for the Chiefs. they sign a corner. This is a guy that they were looking at last year. He failed his physical with the Carolina Panthers due to a foot infection, and it's Bashaud Breeland. He played for the Redskins and was a good player for the Redskins. Then he failed his physical, and so that nullified a $24 million contract with the Panthers. He got picked up midseason by the Green Bay Packers, and to me, he just behind the curve. He didn't have a great seven games with the Packers, but he was all right. He could be the new corner to replace Steven Nelson, and I would say I think this is an upgrade for the Chiefs as long as Bashaud Breeland is healthy. And here's the other thing. It's a one-year incentive-laden deal with a max value of $5 million. So it's not even a $5 million contract. He'd have to max out the incentive. So they didn't spend much money, and they fill a need with a corner that they certainly have a void with Steven Nelson signing a free agency with the Steelers. So I like the pickup, and there's not a lot to not like about it to me. I mean, if he's not healthy, it didn't cost you a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a one-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, you need somebody, and you're looking to fill that. I mean, I still would like them to go draft somebody at that position.
I think they will.
And I think they will, exactly. But I thought they would last year, too. But
sure.
But, yeah, I don't have any issues at all with it. It seems like the smart thing to do.
One of the players the Chiefs let go was Eric Berry, which totally made sense. He's hardly played the last few years, and a lot of money the Chiefs were going to pay him if they kept him. He turns 31 in December, and the five-time Pro Bowler released by the Chiefs is going to visit the Dallas Cowboys today. And I love the article that's a national article, because the national article doesn't know what's going on with Eric Berry. It's like, well, if healthy, he's just a tremendous steal for the Cowboys. Well, if healthy, he would still be at the Chiefs.
Yes.
So, come on.
As much as they want to say the injury didn't have anything to do with it, it was the money. Yeah.
And that's why I'm a little bit...
It's a little bit of both there.
I'm a little bit tepid in my excitement when it comes to the free agents that get signed now. Like even Breeland for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Or the Okafor defensive end, 3 years, $24 million, or he could make up $24 million from the Saints. Those guys were available to anybody, and the Chiefs got them, and they might be good fits for their system. But, listen... There's a reason Eric Berry doesn't have a team right now. There's a reason that he hasn't visited a whole bunch of teams right now, because I don't think there's a ton of interest in a guy that plays three games over the course of 2 years. So you sit here and go, if healthy, well, yeah, duh. I mean, of course, if he's healthy, the Chiefs would have never let him go. There's a reason these guys are free agents. Some teams got rid of him because of the money. They signed him too big a fat a contract. And others just say, hey, they're not worth the money, or they're aging, declining players. And that's what cracks me up is the people that go out and grab the Patriot guys. $66 million for a guy that started 1 year at left tackle. The Raiders are all over it. And the Patriots got to be going, better you than us. The Lions with Trey Flowers, better you than us. Like, there's a reason these guys are available. Every once in a while, somebody will mess up and let go of a really good player. But there's a reason the Packers let Jordy Nelson go. I mean, let's be honest. Jordy Nelson did not have a great year last year. He's an aging player, which brings us to Jordy Nelson. He is a free agent. He was let go by the Raiders. There are teams that are interested in Jordy Nelson. The Seahawks, Jordy's going to visit today. He could be teamed up with former K-Stater Tyler Lockett.
Yeah.
The Patriots are interested. Please, please, Jordy, please don't go there. The Titans, sure, whatever. The Chiefs. As soon as Jordy Nelson was cut by the Raiders, I was like, The Chiefs just lost Chris Conley to the Jaguars. I know they like DeMarcus Robinson. He might slide in that spot. Now the Tyreek Hill situation. To me, Jordy Nelson would be a nice insurance.
Yeah.
And he'd be right in his backyard playing for the Chiefs. And to me, I've always felt like it'd be awesome if Jordy Nelson played for the Chiefs. I think he's still got something left in the tank. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar and, you know, catch 100 balls. But I do think he could come in that Chiefs offense with Patrick Mahomes.
He could catch
40 passes for 700 yards and 6 touchdowns. That's better than Chris Conley. And if you lose Tyreek Hill, and you can grab a Jordy Nelson, if Tyreek Hill is found guilty of what he's done, he'd probably be cut from the Chiefs immediately. He has to. If he's found guilty of that, his three-year-old son's arm, which, by the way, we don't know that for sure. I'm just saying, if he's found guilty of that or admits to it, the Chiefs have to cut him immediately. Because if you got rid of Kareem Hunt for what he did, and I know it was on video, but trust me, what Kareem Hunt did is nothing compared to if Tyreek Hill broke his son's arm, I mean, in an altercation or something. A three-year-old son, are you kidding me? Remember the outrage where Adrian Peterson whipped his own kid with, I forgot what he whipped him with.
It was like a stick.
A stick.
Kept going across
the
legs.
By the way, that's how those guys were raised back in the day. That's how that was part of the discipline. And so Adrian Peterson didn't think there was anything wrong with it. There was a huge uproar about that. Imagine what happens with Tyreek Hill if they find out and the police go, yeah, he did it, and he broke his three-year-old's arm. And that's the conclusion. Tyreek Hill's gone, and he might not play in the NFL ever again. And he was about to get a $100 million contract, perhaps. So, whoops. And I'm hoping there's more to this story to where he isn't guilty of that. One, because I want to believe people get second chances. And then two, yeah, I'll be selfish. For the Chiefs, they have a better chance making the Super Bowl and doing things with a good Tyreek Hill that's a remodeled citizen, which he seems to have been the last 3 years. We have to let it play out. But the point being is that if he is not going to be allowed to play or suspended by the NFL or kicked off the team or whatever the case may be, the Chiefs now suddenly your number one receiver is Sammy Watkins. He's injury prone. Yeah. You let go of Chris Conley. He's a free agent signed with the Jaguars. DeMarcus Robinson suddenly turns into your number two receiver. Do you feel good about that? Because I don't.
No.
And you got Travis Kelce, who's like a wide receiver. You got a Jordy Nelson on a cheap one-year incentive-laden deal. This is your window. I'd love to see Jordy Nelson be a Chief. I think it'd be a good fit.
Very good fit. I mean, Conley had six.
Opens up the field over the middle, but the problem is you have Kelce that kind of does that already. That's the only thing about that.
Yeah. Conley had six touchdowns in his career, and five were last year.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter who's in that spot. You're going to get production with the quarterback that you have. But add to the fact you've got a veteran that can help lead this team, too.
Yeah.
I would love it.
I'd
love it because it's Jordy. And well,
me too.
I love Jordy because he's from K-State. He's from Riley.
Well,
I just love he's a Kansas kid. Yeah, and he's always done the right thing from what we know. So,
right. And
that's why I love it. But I love it for the Chiefs, too, as a business decision as well.
Jordy, I'm begging you, if you're listening to the show, and I know you usually do, you need to forget the Patriots.
Don't break my heart twice.
Forget
Don't go
the
to
Patriots.
The Raiders and the Patriots.
But I understand Patriots win the Super Bowl. They're in the Super Bowl every year, basically. So if you want to get a ring, another ring, sure, it makes sense. But you can get a ring in Kansas City. You can help us get a ring, man. I say us because I am one of the players.
Yes.
I'm kidding.
Same.
And by the way, for all those moms out there that are sick of your kids playing Fortnite, I've got an idea. Invite Carlos Santana to your house. Not the musician. I'm talking Carlos Santana. He, I believe, now is back with the Indians, but he was with the Phillies last year, and this is a funny story. When the Philadelphia Phillies lost their ninth consecutive game toward the end of last September, veteran first baseman Carlos Santana felt like he needed to send a message to his teammates who had spent portions of the game during the game against the Braves. There were players for the Phillies playing video games in the clubhouse during the game. Santana grabbed a bat, retreated to the locker room at Citizens Bank Park where the gaming took place, and smashed a TV with his baseball bat and said, "There will be no more Fortnite the rest of this season." Santana told ESPN, "I see a couple players. I don't want to say names. They play video games during the game. We come and lose too many games, and I feel like they weren't worried about it, weren't respecting their teammates or coaches or the staff or the front office. It's not my personality, but I'm angry because I want to make it good." Moms everywhere are like, you're hired. Come over and bring my TV. My kid will not quit playing Fortnite. What do you want for Christmas? Carlos Santana to visit me and put my kid in his place. No more Fortnite. Are you kidding me? Major League Baseball players being paid during a game, and they're playing Fortnite in the clubhouse. OMG.